Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, via 101.3 FM in the Edmond, Oklahoma area, and online at kpcg.fm. If you heard my Behind the Work show from Monday, you might have noticed that I was very excited for Trumpet Bookshelf because I actually ended the Behind the Work show by saying it was Trumpet Bookshelf. So that should just show you I've been looking forward to doing this show all week. We definitely have some great material today, as always, when we're covering Philadelphia Church of God literature. You can find every book and booklet that we cover on this show for free at thetrumpet.com. And you could start reading it digitally right now, or you could request your own physical copy. Today we're covering the 7th and 8th chapters of the Ten Commandments booklet. And the subhead there is God's Unchangeable Laws for a Happy Life. The 7th chapter is also the 7th of the Ten Commandments. And here is where that is stated in the Bible. Exodus 20, verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Here, Mr. Dennis Leap writes on page 78, the 7th commandment protects the most vital human relationship, that of husband and wife. And if you just think about all of the commandments that we've covered so far, you start learning how God does set up safeguards for really every relationship that we have on this earth. The first four of the Ten Commandments preserve a proper relationship between human beings and the Creator God. And then the last six preserve the family relationship, the marriage relationship, relationships with our neighbors, and really relationships with people we don't even know. People out in public, people we might meet in passing, or have maybe just a very surface interaction with. Every single relationship you could imagine is covered in these Ten Commandments. These Ten Commandments are all about give. They're all about loving others, treating others the way we would want to be treated, and perhaps even better than that. Here is what page 78 says about this seventh commandment. Any kind of premarital sex is a grievous wrong done to a future marriage. God considers it unfaithfulness prior to marriage. And then, of course, this commandment also covers infidelity within marriage once you're already to that point as well. But just think about all the millions of different ways that it seems like you could break every one of these Ten Commandments. There are millions, if not billions, of different types of evil deeds committed every day in every category, and all of them fall under just breaking one or really all of the Ten Commandments, even at once. So you have millions of different crimes, millions of different wrongful acts that maybe aren't even specified as crimes by man's laws, and every single one of those is actually covered by the Ten Commandments. If we simply just obeyed the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't have to have all of these smaller rules written into the books. The Ten Commandments, once you apply them in spirit, really would get rid of every problem that we see. And this is really a dominant problem in society right now, this breaking of the seventh commandment. Everywhere you look, there is just blatant rebellion against this commandment. I was even just watching a YouTube video the other day, and all in the recommendations, there are these full-length movies on YouTube. Apparently, that's something that they're doing a lot more often. Not even movies that you have to pay a few dollars for, but just totally for free. And the vast majority of those titles, I noticed, have everything to do with just the hookup culture, committing adultery, all kinds of just base sexual gratification. That's what most all of those movies were focused on. And they try to make it as glamorous and humorous even as they possibly can. Every type of media, every type of music, pretty much any kind of advertising that we see, a huge part of it just comes down to sex appeal. And Satan obviously knows that it's just very easy to get our minds on that. We can have all different kinds of interests and be very different from each other in almost every way. But the one way that all human beings basically are the same is that we do have a sex drive. And that's something that Satan really does try hard to pervert and exploit. The sex drive is the reason that pornography sales outdo all of the four major sports profits every year here in America. I mean, if you're interested in baseball, you're part of just a percentage of the population. But if you're a human being and you have a sex drive, you have to definitely always be battling against wrong sexual pulls. And that's why it's such big business, because so many people are enslaved to those pulls. Here's again on page 78. It says, God considers adultery such an awful sin because of the incredible purpose he planned for marriage. It's just amazing. On the Key of David television program, Mr. Gerald Fleury has said that human beings seek out sex like alley cats. That's an analogy I will never forget for as long as I live. That really is just a striking, vivid picture of the way that human beings treat this God-ordained institution of sex within marriage. It is just completely abused in society. Page 79 says, in God's plan, marriage and man's incredible human potential are closely connected. And that's the kind of understanding that we need. If we don't understand why marriage is important and why sex is important, then everyone is just going to trample on this commandment against adultery. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, and the eternal God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. And then Mr. Leap writes here, the scriptural record shows that God brought Adam to life first. But God knew that Adam was incomplete in himself. It was not good that he was alone. So God decided to create a help, meet, or suitable for him. God intended to create another human being that Adam could truly share his life with. There are three main purposes for sex that Mr. Leap outlines in the rest of this chapter. Here on page 80, he writes, a primary purpose for sex and marriage is to make man and woman complete. Each is incomplete without the other. Now, there might be critics of God's truth who would say that it is sexist, that it subjugates women and wrongfully exalts men. Well, this doesn't sound like sexism at all, does it? It's saying that both the man and the woman are incomplete without each other, which means they fulfill different but complementary roles. It means that no matter how much you can produce on your own, you could produce much more within a lawful marriage. It really does increase our abilities to fulfill the incredible human potential. And just because we have different roles in achieving the same purpose does not make men better or women inferior. That's not at all what God says in the Bible. Page 81 says, a second purpose of sex and marriage is for building a family. All right, well, that's that's something that maybe a lot of people don't really take the time to consider now. How common is it now to have children outside of wedlock? How common is it to engage in sexual relations outside of marriage, which then so often leads to the heinous act of abortion? What if, think about this, just picture this. What if every human being waited until marriage to engage in sexual intercourse? What if that happened? Well, for one thing, sexually transmitted diseases would completely vanish. For another thing, you would be financially ready. You would be ready in the way of employment for supporting a family before you even got married in the first place, if you do it the right way. And then, once you do finally engage in sex, it is done in a way to actually safeguard that relationship. It is done to build love within that relationship. And because that is how you produce children, well, children are only going to be produced within a solid home, a home that was already built up years earlier, years of preparation by the husband and the wife before they even got married, and then they're building that relationship together, and that would be the solid, uplifting environment that every child would be born into. That is what would happen if everyone obeyed the seventh commandment. How many criminals come from broken homes? How many times do criminals result from parents not putting their priorities in order? Not waiting until marriage for sex. Not waiting until marriage to have children. Not waiting to commit your life to the other person before having a child. To make sure that both parents are ready and completely willing to raise that child. Here's what it says on page 81. A stable family life is the very foundation of all civilized societies. History shows repeatedly that when family life breaks down, nations crumble. Then on page 82, the family structure God designed for man is perfect. It is man that must change. We must stop trying to change God. There are all kinds of alternate family patterns being pursued today, and it's not working. That's the blunt truth of it. Page 82 says, a third purpose for sex and marriage is for the preservation of the matrimonial bond in order to safeguard and protect the home and family. So, marriage and sex within marriage completes the man and the woman. It is the ideal environment for producing children, and it preserves the strength of that marital relationship for everyone involved. And in fact, it's amazing. In the Bible, specifically the Apostle Paul, writes a lot about the roles in marriage. He writes a lot about the proper uses for sex within marriage. And sex is not something meant to be weaponized or withheld from unless both parties choose to. When fasting to draw closer to God. That's really the only reason given where you would abstain from sex in marriage. So the command is not to avoid sex at all costs. That's not at all what the seventh commandment is about. It's about using it the right way and only within marriage. And if we'd really start to understand the spiritual parallels, it does become a lot more desirable to keep this commandment the right way. Ephesians 5 talks about a lot of details about what is expected from the husband, what is expected from the wife. Within the Philadelphia Church of God, every marriage ceremony quotes Ephesians 5 very heavily because it really does lay the groundwork for what is expected in every proper marriage. But then at the end of all that, the Apostle Paul says, "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." That's ultimately what Paul was describing in that chapter. As helpful as it is for us to apply it in our physical marriages, that points us directly to the spiritual marriage. It's even more important for us to fulfill these principles now so that we can fulfill them in the future when we marry Jesus Christ. And that is a great reward that those who are doing God's work today have the opportunity to receive if they can just stay loyal. It says here in this chapter how God hates divorce. He hates any form of lust, any form of wrong thought that would be unfaithful to a spouse or a future spouse. Matthew 5, I've mentioned this many times on this show, even just looking lustfully on somebody is a sin. Before you act on the lust, it's already a sin. We have to drive those sins out right away. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 says to flee fornication, not just to sit around and let thoughts build, but to flee from it, to run away. Literally, that is something that we could do. We could go for a run if any of those thoughts ever come up. There are so many decisive actions we could take to drive those thoughts out. And oh, how our marriages will improve if we do that. And if we're not married, our lives will definitely still improve by practicing purity. Here is chapter 8, titled, You Shall Not Steal. This is from Exodus 20, verse 15, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. On page 87, Mr. Leap writes, with the eighth commandment, God protects the right of all human beings to own property. That's actually a really newsworthy topic today. That's something that comes up all the time. There are people in the U.S. government and in governments in many other nations who actually want to do away with the right to own property. They want the government to control property. They want to tax so much of your earnings that it's almost going to just kill the incentive to earn anything at all. A lot of governments, especially when they lean to the radical left, do end up abusing their people, stealing from their people. So that's something that is definitely a way that breaks the eighth commandment. There are a lot of different types of theft. You can think of physical theft on the street. Ideally, we could all walk down a dark alley in the middle of the night and not have to worry about that. But because so many people break the eighth commandment, because this is so common, because people are out to get for themselves, we have to be very sensible and make sure that we're avoiding situations like that. There's all kinds of not just physical violent theft, but also white-collar crime. Think about the fact that in so many business dealings, the goal is to get the better of the other side. A lot of the time, a relationship between an employer and an employee consists of trying to negotiate down the price of the employee, if you're the employer, and maybe trying to ask for more of a salary than you deserve if you're the employee. Both sides are trying to take advantage of the other. It's amazing being able to work for God's church, how that is nothing like the experience of so many workplaces out in the world. Never have I thought that my employer was trying to pay me less than what I'm worth. Never have I thought that I should try to ask for a raise, because usually it's actually the other way around, where my employer is trying to find ways to pay me more. And that's just a beautiful relationship where both sides are looking out for the good of the other. It just makes all of the employees of the church just want to work even harder and give even more to support God's work. There is no sense of being ripped off or stolen from in any way. It says here on page 88, we must realize that the majority of people in this world are stealing from someone. How? Few people question the attitude of getting the best of someone else. This is stealing. So it doesn't matter if we've literally held up a convenience store. It doesn't matter if we have pirated something that's not ours. There are so many other ways to break the spirit of the eighth commandment, and that's really something to think about. Page 89 says, this commandment shows there are two right ways you can come into possession of anything. The first is by receiving a gift from another person, which includes God. The second is by honest labor, earning something as a just return. So that rules out any form of gambling, which does focus the mind on trying to gain something that is not earned. It's all up to chance. It's a way to try to satisfy a craving for materialism. But it's okay to receive a gift. It's okay to be gracious when someone wants to give to you. And we should always try to reciprocate and give to others too. Nothing wrong with giving and receiving gifts. Nothing wrong with working hard and earning a just wage. There's plenty wrong, however, with not working hard, and still getting paid as if we were. There's plenty wrong with false advertising, you know, promising a certain value in your product that you know you won't be able to deliver on. Accidents are one thing, but promising miraculous 100-pound weight loss in 3 months, that's dishonest. It doesn't happen like that. You don't just take a pill and lose 100 pounds in 3 months. So if anyone is promising that, they are intending to take your money and steal from you by not providing the value that was promised. All kinds of identity theft, that's just rampant today. There are so many ways to steal or be stolen from, and we definitely need to make sure, for one thing, we're not stealing, but also that we're protecting ourselves and using common sense and educating ourselves on how these different scams work so that we can avoid being victimized by them. But ultimately, this commandment gets back to stealing from God too, because God is the ultimate giver. He is the creator of all things, and human beings are only using the things that God has created. They are only selling the things that God has created. So we must be wise stewards of what God allows us to be in charge of on this earth. Malachi 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." So God is a very fair business partner. He only asks that we pay him 10%. We can keep the other 90%, but he asks for the 10%. And that's only fair because he is the provider of everything we have. And we have a couple booklets at thetrumpet.com that will tell you all about tithing and proper wisdom in finances. Now you can get Solve Your Money Troubles. You can also get The Financial Law You Cannot Afford to Ignore. And we've covered a lot of those financial principles on this program already. Ultimately, what the Eighth Commandment is all about is not just trying to avoid stealing, not trying to avoid dishonesty in our work or dishonesty in our dealings with others so that we can rip them off or get the advantage of them. We're actually supposed to go in the exact opposite direction. Rather than the get way, God wants us to live the give way. God wants us to see a need and fill it. He wants us to work for others. He wants us to serve others whenever we see that it is needed. Working, giving, that represents the right way, the positive way to live. And here on page 95 is a beautiful point. The very nature of God focuses on working, producing, and giving. That gives us a picture of our ultimate goal. Ultimately, our potential as human beings is to be born as sons of God. We want to become God as God is God. We want to emulate his character and build his character in our lives. If God is a giver, we should work to become givers too. And that is the ultimate fulfillment of the Eighth Commandment. So today we've covered very briefly just a summary of the Seventh and Eighth Commandments, which are also the Seventh and Eighth chapters of the Ten Commandments booklet. And we will finish off this booklet by covering the Ninth and Tenth Commandments next Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time. So thank you very much for listening today. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.